Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Hey, to the New Cyber Frontier. Today we have a guest on, Dr. Walt Cooper. He's the superintendent of Cheyenne Mountain School District, Colorado Springs District 12. And we're going to talk about engaging the youth into the cybersecurity developments and the economic development in the area. Welcome, Walt. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you, Chris. And thanks for inviting me on to the broadcast. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, we definitely are. District 12, Colorado Springs District 12, Cheyenne Mountain District, got involved with an internship in partnership with the Cyber Resilience Institute and the Colorado Guard for cybersecurity around monitoring cybersecurity events for the Olympics. And I was interested to get your take on what that did and how the students' engagement stood up to what you expected, and you know how the program can really value the community in building the skill set that's required for the future, especially if we're gonna be a cybersecurity focused economic development area in cybersecurity.
So the I think the biggest advantage of the internship model, this in the internship that you referenced with the Cyber Resilience Institute and others like it, is it provides an opportunity for students to connect maybe what they've learned or what they've been exposed to in the traditional school environment. In this case, you know, it might be communication skills, it might be technology skills, it might be a host of things that transpire at school. Yet there's really not a situation where in the classroom you can create something that demonstrates the relevance of the skills that kids have learned, or that demonstrates the relevance of skills that kids would like to learn, where they think they have an interest. Mm-hmm. Like an internship. And so in, you know, when I think about schools being responsive over, you know, the last three decades, right, schools being responsive to community and society, right, we had poor kid drivers, so we started driver's ed, right? Mm-hmm. We started sex and health education in schools because of an issue there. We really, you know, we launched math initiatives as a result of the race to space and other things. And so when I think about those types of things and schools' responses, we play a significant role in that, especially in building the academic skills, mm-hmm, in students, in young adults, for their next step, whether that be college or career. But it's very difficult to replicate anything that illustrates the relevance of those skills, and like the internship program did this summer, or like programs. So I think that it's not a one or the other, mm-hmm, type of proposition. If we really are going to be responsive to the needs of a rapidly changing society, it's got to come in a multifaceted approach. And not only do we not have the capacity, I don't think it's realistic to expect the instructional paradigm of schools to take on all of that responsibility to do it. Number one, I don't think we could do it in terms of capacity. Number two, I don't think we could do it in terms of competence. Mm-hmm. So the skills that those kids witnessed, got to practice, and got to see in real-time play, probably did more in terms of connecting kids to the relevance of the skills they've learned in the academic environment better than anything we could have designed.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Building this relevance in an industry that we're trying to grow here, how do you think that at the high school level we can start to engage to get a lot more numbers of kids excited and involved in this kind of cybersecurity because the local economic development is in this direction?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's a marketing component, right? I think a lot of the pieces to build the skills are in place. But what is the level of awareness of what is next out there? So for example, if a student has an interest in being a physician, right, and working in the medical field, there is no shortage of opportunities for them to shadow, for them to see presentations, to really, before they ever step out of the door of high school, have a really good idea about what they, you know, what turns them on. You know, do I want to be a cardiologist or do I want to be a radiologist? Mm-hmm. Do I want to do this? You know, that's something where there's lots of opportunities, informational opportunities around the career field for kids. And I said that's a facet of marketing, right? That's not a facet of curriculum design. That's not a facet of anything other than getting word to kids, getting in front of kids. Here's what can happen in this career field. One of the things that I thought was really interesting, I stepped into this whole cyber field issue around this internship, you know, just 4 months ago, right? I had no idea what any of that entailed. But one of the things that I really thought was interesting was to hear what the kinds of skills, the types of skills, and the kinds of opportunities that were going to be available and growing or necessary in this cybersecurity world. And to me, that spoke to even more the power of the internship, because unless I have a real misconception of this, it's not about, and I heard this directly, you know, we're going to need coders, but we don't need to teach kids necessarily to code. They're, you know, we're going to need analysts. We're going to need people that, you know, we're going to need psychologists. We're going to need mathematicians. We're going to need we're going to need managers. So to try to build an instructional construct around those skills, well, we have a lot of that, because it doesn't matter if it's cyber or if it's medical or if it's engineering or if it's liberal arts, whatever. Mm-hmm. Those core skills are needed in all of those. So how do we transition from I don't want to say traditional, that's not the, that has a different connotation, but from a more widespread, generic academic skill set to saying, okay, now here are some of the myriad things that you can do. And if you have an interest in these, here's where you step in at whatever point. Here's your entry point, and then you go on from there.
Yeah, the political awareness or the the awareness aspect you talked about is interesting because, you know, we're putting together a lot of people in town that are going to organize this under UCCS, the National Cyber Center. Maybe a connection to the high school age kids, you know, immediately or even, you know, over the near term to get them ready to prime that pump of new talent mm-hmm. coming out of high school is something we can recommend to the leaders of our community that we need to put in place here as a part of this National Cyber Center effort.
Yeah, I think that's that would be wise. I think that's a necessary prerequisite. I think that there are this building the basic and prerequisite skill set is the most important component for in my world, mm-hmm. right? In having high school students walk out the door. Very few high school students walk across the stage and get that diploma at the end of May and know exactly what path they're going to take and what they want to do and where they want to go. Some do. Mm-hmm. The majority don't. And even some of those that do will change. But I don't think that it's probably safe to say that none of them have an idea about a career path that they don't know about. Right. So in their thinking, if you say, what are you going to do next? I mean, some will say, well, I don't know. Right? Mm-hmm. But most of them will say, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to, or I want to be this down the road. But nobody's just pulling those out of a hat or out of a vacuum. They've been exposed to them in some mm-hmm. level. It's what their parents do. It's what they saw in it's something that they learned about in the classroom. It was something that they did, you know, they saw it through a volunteer opportunity at their church or whatever else. They've been exposed to it. So I think the idea of exposure, again, I go back to it's really a facet of marketing. It's not a facet of, mm-hmm. any business model design or anything like that. It's a matter of awareness first.
How much of that do you think is the, with kids coming out of high school, just curious, the financial, the pay aspect, do they really even contemplate that at their age?
I don't think so. Okay. At least not to a significant degree.
So it's more in the marketing piece, it's more of the appealing to their interest in the job, the excitement, the right. growingness of the career, and not just you're going to make lots of money, come in to work for cybersecurity.
Exactly. Because I don't know that a lot of, unfortunately, and this speaks to financial literacy, I don't know that a lot of kids coming right out of high school even really could accurately quantify what a lot of money is. Mm-hmm. Now they can look at two comparative numbers and say, wow, if I become an attorney, I'm going to make a lot more money than if I become a teacher. Mm-hmm. That's not rocket science, right? But
so it's a lifestyle almost that they're comparing in their mind.
Yes. I think it's about lifestyle. It's about excitement. It's about what is trending.
So the marketing to these young people has to be excitement, lifestyle, trending, engagement.
I agree. Yes.
And that's the leave behind it. We can leave to anybody that's saying, hey, what does Walt Cooper bring to the table of bringing young people in is advertised to them on those bounds.
Yeah, I had a conversation within the last month with a friend of mine, a parent and a friend of mine, and we actually have kids in the seniors this year in high school, and he was saying that his son was really we were having the typical conversation, sideline conversation about, hey, well, where's your kid going to go to school? And, what's his top choice? Have you done that? All those conversations. And he said to me, hasn't made a, real firm decision on school yet. He's got three or four, but he knows he wants to go into engineering. And then he said, or at least that's what he told me. But then when I asked him, well, what do engineers do? He couldn't tell me. So, and we kind of chuckled about that, but I think there's a lot of that, right? That I know mm-hmm. I want to be an engineer, but Dad, what do engineers really do?
So they've been sold on the lifestyle and the comforts or whatever, what they see around them, but they don't have a concept of what that would entail.
Right, and who knows who sold them on that, right? Uh-huh. Was it because of something they saw in a movie, right? Was it because of a guest speaker in a classroom? Is it because they really like their neighbor across the street, or is that what their uncle does? And they like the car their uncle drives and where their uncle lives, and they think that's pretty. And the answer to those is yes. You know, all of those are possibilities and myriad mm-hmm. more. But to think about, if a kid says, well, it would be a very rare 17-year-old in my 35-year experience that would sit down and say, well, I want to be at this financial position in so many years, and so I want to make this, and I'm going to have this much in student loans, and so if I amateurize that, I've got to make at least this much a year to be able to do this.
That doesn't really happen at that age.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
And maybe that's another training exercise in itself, is have them understand what levels of income equal what type of lifestyle.
Yeah.
Just thought of that while we were talking about this. That seems like what's missing there, kind of.
But I really think that the marketing the opportunities for kids to think about things, right? The more marketing is out there, the more and marketing sometimes is a dirty word, right? So it sounds like you're trying to sell, right? Everybody
Awareness.
That got a marketing degree, right? Everybody that went to school and said, "What are you marketing?" Oh God, you're gonna be a salesman. it's not so much of that. It really is about it's about the awareness piece. And then secondarily to that, I think it's got to be. There has to be a realization and a realistic approach to who does what at what point along the continuum. And as a as an example to that, there, for the last, at least in this area, one big continual focus, economic development focus, is the lack of manufacturing, right? The capacity for manufacturing, both in terms of production company mm-hmm. and then skilled workforce. And so, the community college has really been working with the business sector, the manufacturer, to try to figure out how do we shore this up on all ends. Well, high schools play a role in that too, obviously. But where along the continuum? I mean, there really is not tremendous opportunities to do large-scale, full-blown manufacturing type of trainings in high schools, all right? Machinists or any of those types of things. But there is at the community college level. But the community college can't fulfill that mission if the prerequisite prior mission isn't fulfilled by high schools. And so in that manufacturing mindset, I think there's been a lot of work done and a lot of alignment with not so much with my school and my school district, but other schools, other districts, the community college, and that apprentice type of progression as to how do you get there. But again, you could have a really solid model of developing those skills, but if you're not generating the interest in the kids entering into that, you know, stepping into that model, what have you really gained?
And with that particular one, it seems like it's almost a little bit different than a cybersecurity or an IT technical industry, where it's not as flashy. Was that a problem with engaging the students? It's more of a go back and learn almost something we consider antiquated. Draws it, in their mind a reluctance.
I think that's probably a fair assessment to a certain degree. I think it's also it also ebbs and flows with the economy, with local demands, you know, that type of thing. They probably aren't having I don't know this for a fact, but my guess is that in the early 90s, through the 90s, when the tech sector in Colorado Springs was, you know, on a rabid pace, those conversations around a lack of manufacturing capacity and a lack of that sector in the economy, and those conversations weren't happening. So a lot of that is, you know, the catalyst for that is what is happening in terms of economic development, economic opportunities, and the health of the economy in general, and the driving factors of the economy, local economy. And so I see, from my very novice and external perspective, I see this conversation around cybersecurity, the economic development of cyber, very similar to the conversations that began, that I heard in earnest beginning 5 or 6 years ago around manufacturing.
Okay. So what advice, having kind of been through that, seen the how high school was engaged, what advice would you give in your recommendation for this new effort?
Well, I think that it has to be a wide scale conversation among industry, university, community college, public school districts. And sometimes those conversations are difficult to begin because at some point, one or more of those entities can very quickly feel like the finger is being pointed at them to fix this, that they're not doing something right, or that it's their responsibility to fix this thing rather than being an equal partner. And it's not about, well, you're doing something wrong, so change it. It's about, here is our objective. What part in this can you play?
Okay.
And so it's not, you know, just the community college's responsibility to put kids into the entry-level workforce in manufacturing that can, calculate fractions in their head and run a machine. There is the employer can't expect a kid to walk in the door fully prepared without any industry-specific training, mentoring, apprenticeship, whatever that is, coming out of the community college, right? There's a responsibility on the employer. The community college can't be expected to start with a blank slate with a kid coming in from the 12th grade and prepare them for the level that they need to be walking into that entry-level industry position. So there's a responsibility on
all three
levels to a prerequisite, basically, responsibility on all of those levels. So the idea of pathways, right? That's where pathways sit. Where is your next step along this path? It's not from point A to the end. There's a point B, C, D along this path, and we all have to be partners in that, although that doesn't mean that we're that there aren't varying levels of responsibility. We're not necessarily equal partners, right? In one situation, maybe it's like this. In another, it's like this, you know, based on mm-hmm. what the desired outcome is.
So what would success look like in this whole process that includes high school, you know, K-12, you know, to turn over to university, to turn over to industry, and in this cyber industry, you know, economic development, what would success look like from your input at the, as a in the high school level?
I think the in order to be successful, we have to have a backward design. We have to start with a backward design. What is it that the, so in this narrow focus, right, we're now talking about cyber. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about manufacturing. We're not talking about medical. We're not talking about anything but cyber. So the cyber industry, whatever that industry, I mean, and that's widespread. I mean, it's so multifaceted, I don't pretend to understand it. The cyber industry has to say, here is what we need coming in the door. Mm-hmm. So we're all gatekeepers up until that point, right? The ultimate gate leads into the cyber industry. So the cyber industry has to start with a backward design and say, here's what we need, so let's look backward. What's the step right before us? Mm-hmm. For A, B, and C, the step is the university level, right? Because these are bachelor's or master's level engineers that, you know, are doing these the highest level things. For this, for these other pieces, these are community college grad. These are certificate, you know, carrying vocational certificate associate. For this level, you know, it's an entry level. 18-year-olds can come in and do this. But anyway, identify what all of those, and then work backwards and say, for this, here's what we need from you, university. Mm-hmm. University says, this is what we need from you, community college or high schools. Community college says, this is what we need from you, high schools. And so that there's a clearly understood continuum. Now,
and that would make success. So how and who do you think, I didn't mean to stop you, we'll wrap things up here. How and who do you think is and should be responsible for doing this? Should it be a civic effort?
I think it needs to be driven by the ultimate consumer of this talent, and that's industry.
Okay.
And I'm a very free market, economic driven mindset when I think of mindset when I think about what is it that we need to be doing with our, where do we need to get our graduates? Mm-hmm. Because there is, for virtually every one of our graduates, maybe even it's right to say for every one of our graduates, there is a gatekeeper at the next level. And so that gatekeeper might be a minimum wage employer. That gatekeeper might be the military. That gatekeeper might be a community college. That gatekeeper might be the university. That gatekeeper might be a very high level employer. And so we just need to have a clear understanding and meet as many of those prerequisites for each of those gatekeepers as we possibly can. And so in that regard, for us, for 85% of the kids that come out of our school, that gatekeeper is the university. So that's where our primary focus is. I mean, we can expand that focus. So we don't necessarily know what the gate looks like for our kids when they leave the university to whatever. But that really is not overly material for that, because we, in this progression, mm-hmm. Our primary responsibility has to get it ready for that next step. And then the next step has to get them ready for the next step. And the next step has to get them ready for the next step. And so I'm also a big fan of backward design. I think that's the most effective way to set the course for any path, right? If you don't know where you're going, you're probably not going to get there.
Yeah.
So you know, in this specific example and construct that we're talking about cyber, I think it's the cyber industry clearly articulating what's needed in that backward design.
Okay, so we'll get that message out. In closing, is there anything that you would like to get out about District 12 activities, projects, things that you would like to get out to the general public? Always give that opportunity.
I don't know what that is. I know that we're excited about being now involved in Project Lead the Way. We're just in our infancy. Project Lead the Way is not in its infancy, but we're in our infancy with that. There are certainly some other schools that are far ahead of us in that regard, but we have to start somewhere. And this is it's not replacing anything else that we're doing, but this is a new path for us. And I think that that's going to generate some unanticipated interest in even more cyber or technical related fields that we don't even know what are out there yet. So
All right. It's
an exciting future.
It is. Well, thanks for joining today, Walt. And we definitely enjoyed your input and your experience in the area. Thanks.
Thank
a lot.
You. Appreciate the opportunity.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.